Have you guys ever received bad news? Ever, like, or how about maybe, like, you haven't received the news yet, but you're waiting on it. Like, the person who's about to give you the bad news is, like, standing in front of you, and it could either be really, really good, or it could be really, really bad. Like, maybe you're at the doctor's, and he's going to tell you, hey, you have to stay in Guatemala for a whole nother week in the hospital. And you're like, no, please, I hope he's not going to say that. You know? Yeah, that was me. But then they, like, give you this really good news. Like, how do you feel when you know that someone's coming up to you? You see them walking towards you, and they have great news, and you can't wait for them to get to you to tell you this awesome news. Like, isn't it amazing? And that person, you can't, like, take your eyes off them. You're like, I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait. There's an excitement because you know that this great news is coming to you. And on the flip side, like, you're not really that into it when you know someone's coming with bad news. Maybe you, like, tuck tail and go the other way, or you're just, like, standing there shaking and your knees are... But there's something about that news. And there's something about the one that's bringing that news. And so our memory verse that we had today, what did it say? Do you guys remember? Did anyone already work on memorizing it? Can you give me the gist of what our memory verse was? How beautiful... All right. Why are they so beautiful? Like, what is this good news? What is it about this awesome news that makes the bringer of this news so beautiful? It's the news itself. And you know, the cool thing is that there's a lot of people out in this world who are waiting on news. And a lot of people get a lot of bad news every single day. And so when we are able to come with the best news that we have to share, which you guys have if you believe in Jesus, you have the good news of life. Man, how awesome when those people see you coming, see you ready, bringing that great news that they don't have to live hopelessly, that there is hope, that there's life beyond this mess that we look around us and see, that there is life in Jesus. And you know what? As you sit here tonight and you're a believer in Jesus, you have that news to share. And people are out there just waiting. Now, here's something really cool. A lot of you guys have been doing that. Over this summer, there have been mission trips that have gone out, and some of you guys joined in those things, and you went with Jubilation to New Orleans, and you shared your faith there. And some people saw you coming with that good news, and I'll tell you what, they were pumped because they saw the good news and heard it, and you brought it to them. And others went to Guatemala. Some of you guys just got back from Guatemala. Some went during spring break, and you've had the opportunity to obey God and go bring good news. And some of you guys were at House of Hope just this last week. There was a good group of y'all that showed up, and we went to House of Hope, and we were able to share with little kids good news about Jesus. I love that you guys are getting involved in that. I love that you see how important this news is, and you believe how good it is, and you want to go share it with people. And so tonight, what we're going to do is just have a little night where we're able to hear from some of y'all. If you went on one of those trips tonight, or you've done something awesome, maybe I didn't even mention one of those trips tonight, but you did something like that where you brought good news, and you just want to share with the group what God did through you, or what you saw God do, that's what tonight's for. So we want to hear from some of y'all from these different groups that went out and just hear, what is it that God's doing? Why is this news so good? And before you do, because we have a video of this one, we're going to show the Guatemala trip since they just got back. We got some slides from that. You guys have been contributing a lot to that. And there's a huge thank you coming back from Guatemala from all the people, because that refrigerator that you guys saved all that money up and gave offerings for got put in the clinic. It may have blown up once, okay? You may have gotten news, but it didn't die. It stayed alive. So luckily, Mr. Shorn and Dave Crawford and all these really smart guys came around and made sure it wouldn't blow up again. So it's good and it's in use. And that Lady Maria, who's dying from diabetes, now has a constant flow of insulin that can stay in that refrigerator. And it's because of you guys, all right? Now, here's the goal. We don't want it to blow up anymore. So instead of propane, we want to use solar power. So we're going to start raising money toward a solar panel to be able to put on that fridge. That's why we bought it originally. So we're going to put these around tonight. And as the, I might need you to pull. Thank you, young lady. Oh, don't break them. Okay. As the slideshow's going, if you guys just feel led, will you please give some money toward that propane thing? And if not, just pass it right around and move it on. And pray for Guatemala and all these trips as it goes, all right? After the video, I know it's a lot of directions, I'm sorry. After the video, I'm going to invite, George Shorn is here. Well, George, will you just wave? He's visiting us all the way over from the other side. And there's a couple other awesome guests we have tonight, too, that are back there. You can't see him in the dark, but... George, can you be the first one to come up and share tonight? And then after George is done, whoever else wants to share, you just come, and as he's done, he'll hand you the mic, and you just keep rolling like that so we don't waste time, okay? All right, so here's the video, and pass that bucket around.
It's great to see so many great young people here. I know I'm kind of an old guy, but it's just super to see how many of you people come on Wednesday night and listen to Rob and do all these things, and it's just super. We went to Guatemala with a group of about 20 people, 21 people I think it was, and I kind of want to split this in three sections real quick and not take a lot of time, but I first of all want to tell you a little bit about the group we were with. I want to certainly tell you about what the Lord was doing, and then maybe a little levity about some of the cool things that happened and some of the living conditions and some of the neat things that maybe most people don't get to experience in their lifetime. Number one, the miracles. Wow. I mean, here you are, 2 hours on the plane, 8 hours on a road on this brand new bus that didn't have any shocks and built in 1922, and you say to yourself, where's the Lord taking me? Okay, why would I go here? Okay, I left my air-conditioned house, my pool, everything that I have, and I'm going in the middle of the jungle? Well, let me tell you something. He has a plan. And we got there, hot as heck, go into this village, and these soft-hearted people, children all the way up, so glad to see you, so glad to listen to you, even though you didn't know their language. And the Lord just started to work, and they're listening, and they want to know what you have for them. And we didn't bring goodies. We brought the Lord. We brought the good word, and they were willing to listen, and the Spirit was there. First day out of the first village we were at, things didn't work out necessarily the way we wanted them to work. Smooth as silk, picking up from the last time that the guys were there. And we were a little disappointed. Long story short, without a lot of details, what happened? Of course the Spirit's there. And really, we should have just praised him for our disappointment because it was 10 times better than we could have ever done ourselves. There was another pastor there that now has taken over that village, that believes in Scripture, that believes in the Word. Rob and him had a chance to really spend some time together, and what a hooping, hollering, great service we had with those folks. And everybody joined his brothers and sisters. We couldn't speak that well. I did a testimony on the last day with another village. It was translated twice before it got to the language of the people in the village. They all smiled, and afterwards everybody was talking and hugging. They all are so in need of the word and willing to accept it. The Lord is working like mad on this trip. Now, this just doesn't come to happen overnight. We came along, and we see all this stuff, the newbies like myself and my wife and a few others. But let me tell you something. Rob and his team have been working this for a while, and they have cleared the golden path. So now people that go, everything's smooth, and they know how to work, and they know how to infiltrate, and they know how to get the word of the Lord to the folks, and they're willing to listen. So if anybody is interested in having a real mission trip, this isn't like mission trips I've been on in the past, where we went and put a few bricks together or a few blocks on something that really they could do themselves real easy. Now, this is meat and potatoes. This is getting into the system. This is organized. There you have a focus. When Rob says we're going to go give the word of the Lord to people, he doesn't mean we're going to sit around and talk about it. We get and they get and do it. We did it. He has a job for everybody, and everybody gets involved. And you talk about a servant leader. Your leader is a servant. Because you didn't see him too much. You didn't hear about him too much. But he was there. And you felt his effects all the time. The Spirit was working like I have never seen the Spirit work before. And that's because of the faithful hearts we have in the team that I was with. The team that I was with, people like myself, but a lot younger, of course, nobody's as old as I am, that left their homes, you know, left their makeup, left their hair dryers, left their cushy bed, left everything, slept in a hammock, bathed in the river. You know, a lot of mornings, one morning I got up, and I'm up a little earlier than everybody, went into the shower, no water. What am I doing now? You know, I have everything laid out. There's not too many places to lay anything. You have to gather everything up, and what am I going to do now? Doggone water's not on. You go down to the river and bathe. Well, geez, there was three ladies down there already bathing before me. I mean, it's just you do what you have to do, and at the end of the day, you say, I want to stay here. The first few minutes, you say, what am I doing here? And then when you leave, you say, I want to stay. These people are worth every little piece of suffering that I can give, every little piece of not suffering, but more just not having the luxuries that I might have at home. It's just such an honor to serve the Lord in that way where you see him working right there all the time. So anybody that's interested in doing this type of thing, I highly encourage you to consider it. The people that we were with, the team I was with, I was honored to be with a group of folks like that. Never complained, never had a problem with anything, no water, one toilet, and that was shaky at best. Two toilets, one had a seat. And that only had a few bugs in it, and we got rid of them. No big deal. Really, the bugs weren't bad at all. A few of us got bites, but not too many. It was very, very comfortable considering what I expected. And the food was fabulous, cooked by the Guatemalans over an open fire. Everybody was together. We worked as a team. There was no problems. Nobody was better than anybody else. Nobody acted better than anybody else. Everybody was on the same level, and we supported everybody. And I thank you for the team of Rob, Justin, and Sarah, the unmentioned lady that really, she was the silent watch. She knew everything that was going on and made sure everything was safe. So I appreciated what she has done, and I appreciate what everybody else who I didn't mention that has been there many times before and set the stage for us. The Lord is alive. The Lord is working. Sometimes we don't see it around here. Go to Guatemala. You'll see it immediately. Well, thank you, and I appreciate you listening, and God bless you.
My name is Jackson. Let's see. All right, when was the last time everybody went to a doctor? Recently? You walk into a nice office, nice air conditioning, it's cushy. You've got an appointment, you sign in, you go in and see the doctor, everything's nice and clean. Well, they don't have that down there. They have hospitals, but you have to pay to go to them. No one has insurance. And let's see, I think from where we were, the nearest hospital is about 6 hours. Now, that is great if everybody's got a car, but they don't really have cars. They kind of walk everywhere. So medical is kind of an interesting thing down there. I'm sure if a lot of you have been around, you've heard Jordan talk about Delmi. This is her little girl. Here's the update on Delmi. God has everything under control. Julio is kind of the coordinator that runs things there. He and I got to go to a hospital. They arranged an appointment. And we went and met with the hospital administration. We need to do the surgery. Well, the whole time we're driving down there, understand this is the jungle. And we're going to do this really big surgery on this little tiny little girl. And our big concern is, how's she going to heal afterwards? We're worried about infection. We're worried about what happened and just, you know, who's going to watch out for her. You know, we're hours away. You know, we can fly back if we need to, but we're not right there. So, you know, Julio and I are going back and forth. What are we doing? What kind of special arrangements can we make? You know, special rooms, special nurses, all this other stuff. And we get to the hospital, and the administrator's busy. We were supposed to meet, but he's already in a meeting. So he's like, tells his assistant, well, show him around the hospital. So we go to look around the hospital. And who's got a shed in their backyard? That's kind of what these hospital rooms look like. I'm trying to give you a visual effect of this is not Cape Canaveral. This is not Wusthof. This is a building that's got open windows, no screens, tile everywhere. Not what you would think of a hospital. So, and this is where we're going to operate on this little girl, who if she gets an infection, she loses her leg. That's just kind of the reality of it. So we're walking in there, and they're showing us around the operating room, and they're all wearing like reused stuff. It's not sterile. It's not really clean. It's certainly not what we're used to, but hey, it works for them, and that's great. They do with what they have. and they don't have much. So we go into this room, and there happens to be this doctor, and he's doing a surgery on a 9-year-old boy who's gotten hit by a car, and his leg's broken. So they have to put a plate on his leg. And they're using your dad's drill out of his toolbox. Literally, that's what they're using. They plug it into the wall, and they're just doing their thing. And so the translator is telling this doctor who we are and why we're here, and telling him about that we're going to correct this girl's leg. And this doctor who speaks no English, all of a sudden the first words out of his mouth are Taylor spatial frame. Because he knows exactly what it is that we're going to do, because there's only one thing that can do it. And his thing is, he would love to learn how to use this. Well, he happens to be the chief of pediatric orthopedics in this region. And who did we talk about the whole drive there, that we needed somebody there in country that could watch out for Delmi? And Julio and I are looking at each other, and it's like, wow, that was just awesome. That was exactly what we prayed for. This is this guy that can take care of this little girl while we're not around. And then we look at each other and go, why are we surprised that God had it all under control? It's like, think about in your life when you're praying about things, and just pray for God's will, because no matter what situation you're facing, God's got it all under control. Everything that we need to happen for this little girl has fallen into place, just like God wanted it, just like Jordan directly prayed for. She was very specific about her prayers, and God has answered them, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we appreciate all your prayers. We're looking to do her surgery in September. And like I said, everything has just fallen into place. We're actually not going to do it at this hospital. There's another hospital in Guatemala City, which is like, you know, the capital of Guatemala, and they've got a real hospital there. And Hope of Life, who we're tied into, has actually given them like $7 million worth of donated medical supplies that's been donated to Hope of Life. And they're passing it on to the hospital. And so the hospital's going to grant us the surgery time to do the surgery. But just continue to keep Delmi in your prayers, and us as we go back in September. But just remember, whatever it is, God's got it under control. Too big? Nope. Nothing's too big. Nothing's too small.
Caleb Jenkins, everybody. Give him a hand. Caleb Jenkins.
All right, so I didn't really have too much prepared for this, but so I was on this trip the last week, and I just wanted to talk about the water filters. I don't know how many of you have heard of like what we're doing with the water filters down there. So not many of you. We have these little water filters we take down, and I believe we work with Fiera Water Networks to get the filters. So basically, the people out in the jungle, they have to boil their water or it's not clean. They get sick from it. So when we bring them these water filters, they're lifetime filters, and all they have to do is backwash them. So that prevents them from having to get as much wood to boil their water, and it just helps them, because sometimes they just don't boil the water. So they'll get sick all the time. So we've been doing that with the water filters. You probably saw a few pictures on the slides of that. What we do is we split up into like three teams, and we go house to house, kind of teaching them how to use the water filter, how to clean it. And it's just been a really good way to get in the houses and fellowship with the families and play with the kids and get to know the people one-on-one. So we did 50 filters in Calvario this trip. And we had done, do any of you remember us talking about the last trip that we did to Nimasa Hall? We had done, I believe it was 50 filters there as well last year. And we had actually camped out in the village. So this year, me, Rob, Jackson, Mr. Crawford, Matt, Justin, we went out there and kind of checked on those filters, and there were some cool things that happened. We They said they had like 7 that weren't working, but they were just not cleaning them correctly. So we taught them how to fix that situation. And then the cool part was we had camped in their village the whole week last year. So we were around the people 24/7. We didn't know how they were going to respond to that. A lot of times they don't want Americans coming in their village at all, especially gospel-bringing Christians. So it was a little scary, but it went pretty well last year. The cool part was when we were there this time, the president of the village, his name is Manuel, and he's a really cool guy. But what he said to us was really awesome. He said it to Rob as we were leaving after checking on the filters, but he was just like, when are you guys going to come back? You're welcome anytime here. We loved having you last year. And it was just so awesome to see how building those relationships, like, we didn't know that it was going to lead to that. But that's just such a huge door. I don't know if you guys see that, but that's a huge door for us to go back and just really, really share the gospel with them and love on them, because that's what they need most. So that was my cool story. That's what impacted me the most, and I can't wait to go back. So thanks.
Hey, I just want to add something to what Caleb said. You guys have to... It's hard to explain where this Nemata Hall is. But it's like, if you can just imagine the most remote place and then keep going. It's like this, it's sort of a road, but it's really meant for foot traffic. They don't really have a lot of car. I mean, we passed a couple people on bicycles that were walking their bicycles. But as we went down this road, people kept jumping in the back of this truck. So we had 4 people in the truck and then a bunch of people in the back, and more people just kept climbing on. And so we went forever. I'm like, how does anybody even know this is back here? How did anybody find this place? And we had a flat tire. And we're probably 50 miles from electricity. There's no running water. There's no electricity. And we have a... You don't just call AAA. You know, I mean, so we figure out how to get the flat off the truck. And Jackson and Justin and Matt are all laying under the truck and all. They get the spare out. Guess what? The spare's flat. So they go ahead and change it. At least there's a tire with tread now, but it's flat. And we're standing there, and one of the guys that was with us from the ministry starts talking to the lady in this front of this hut we stopped in front of. Every once in a while, there was a structure of some sort. And they talk for a minute, and then they disappear. And this woman had a little pancake compressor and a generator. She had a little 2-stroke Yamaha generator that wouldn't keep running that we had to tinker with to get it to run. Of all the places in the whole world... That tire went flat right in front of this woman's house in the middle of absolute nowhere. I mean, seriously, nowhere. And then once you got that done, then we drove about that far again. We were only halfway there then. And it was really crazy. But I just wanted to add that not only did God have this other stuff, but I guess we'd have walked out. There's nobody to call. There's no way to call anybody. Somebody maybe would have gone by on a bicycle and we could all climbed on. I don't know. I don't know, but it was just stuff like that. The whole trip was like that. There's so many stories like that that happened. It was very cool.
Hello. Hi, everyone. Has anybody ever heard of Shiloh Adventure Camp? 8 weeks ago, well, actually months ago, I got like a Facebook message from the director. His name is Mark, and he was asking me like if I wanted to go down and like, you know, help out with the music and stuff. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then he was like, you'll also be a senior counselor. And I was like, okay, cool. Not sure what that entails, but I'm in. So I get down there, and now I'm expecting like tubing and sailing and paddleboarding, which was all there. It was all a lot of fun. But I wasn't too sure what the whole senior counselor thing meant. I had no idea what I was expecting, and like you get to this cabin and you get 6 or 8 kids anywhere from ages 8 to 15, and like immediately you just start like having the most fun with these kids. But I think just like the craziest thing about it was, and like the most educational thing for me, and like where I really got to see what this ministry was just, you know, you'd get kids that were in and out of foster care their whole lives. You know, you'd get kids that just had these crazy rough lives, and you'd get these situations. Like, I had a kid who had PTSD because he witnessed his father kill his two younger brothers. So you get these kids and you're like, how am I supposed to do anything here? Like, what can I say to make this kid understand that not everyone is out to get them? You know, what do I say to these kids to make them understand, like, well, you know, that there is a God and that there is love? And so, like, even just amongst the first week, and there's this big hit in the face of, like, these kids have gone through more than I could ever imagine going in my short 19 years of life. They've gone through in their short 6 years of life, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of life. And it was just really, like, awakening to see what happens to some of these kids and what God is doing in some of their lives. Just learning so much patience and so much love for people that you just met. And then there was other situations that you just learned so much patience. Like, when you're dealing with 8-year-olds, literally 24/7, like, because you sleep in their cabin, so they'll wake you up at 3 and be like, I have to go to the bathroom. And, like, you'll take them to the bathroom, and they'll be like, never mind, I don't have to go anymore. And you're like, okay, let's go back to sleep then. You know, you really, like, learn how to have patience. And I got to read my Bible a lot this summer, which was awesome. But in Philippians chapter 4, it says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that was like the big fueling verses for me this summer, just learning how to have patience. And I mean, like, how do I love this kid when he's doing this? And even in those stupid situations or those massive, crazy situations, you're like, how do I love these kids? Like, how do I love this situation? How do I thank God for it? And how do I come to him in thankfulness when this happens? I mean, I don't know, you know? And you read, and Paul tells us, you know, the peace that surpasses all understanding, peace we can't even comprehend, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That was my summer. It was just awesome to see that God has a place, and he's planned that place in those kids' hearts before we even did. You know, he planned that place in all our situations in our lives before we ever did. And he has that plan, and it's completely perfect, and it's so much greater than we could ever comprehend. Anyway, that's all I have.
Yeah, I'm Jordan, for those of you who don't know. I went on the trip too. I actually went on the one last year, and so this year I was kind of like, okay, God. The last one was awesome. I shared some of that with you guys last year. But like George was saying, we all had kind of roles that we played. We had people who were in charge of EBS and in charge of doing the water filters and in charge of going in and, like, for the girls to be hospitable to the ladies and paint their nails and do all these things. Guatemalan girls love their nails painted, guys. You know that. But anyways, so I kind of had a cool, me and Gabe Ledford, he's not here tonight, but our job on the whole trip was to be worship leaders. So we would do worship for our group. So it was really cool because I got to go around with each group, and we all kind of did, but maybe me and Gabe a little more so, just because we were kind of free to do things. So I got to go do the VBS, and I got to go help out a lot with the water filters again, and shared this little thing that they are so grateful for, that one guy even says, like, you Americans, you bring such good things. And it's cool that we brought that to him, but the fact that our relationships, like Caleb was saying, are being built with these people is even better, in the fact that they want us to come back. And it's because our attitude, and we're loving them like Christ loves them. So I got to see a lot of cool things like that. I got encouraged very much just by, like George said, just the team, just the attitudes of everybody. Logan was in charge of a lot of the games for VBS. He's not here, but I mean, like, he's got all the guys, and the guys are very rambunctious and very, like, they'll just run up to you and just, like, hit you for no reason. I mean, it's a guy thing anyway, but I feel like Guatemalans love it even more. But my thing that I want to tell you guys, or want to share with you, is that it's worth it. And that it's, in one sense, it's no different than living here. It's worth the grit and the grind and the 1.5 toilet and the food there that's awesome. Listen, the food, if you're ever worried about the food being terrible over there, listen, they cook American food, but they add like zest to it, whatever they do. Anyways, no, it's worth it because these people need the gospel. But the thing is, it's no different living here, guys. One of the things me and Matt and some of the other guys were talking about is how can we take going over there, because it's, in one sense, it's easy because they don't speak our language, and it's easy for me to say, hey, Jesus loves you, and them disagree with me and be like, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I don't have to see them again. I live over here. Here it's a little different, where I go to where I work and I tell them that I love Jesus and I don't agree with partying and drinking, and I don't agree with gossip or dirty sexual jokes. I don't agree with that. It's harder for me to do that because I see them every day, and then there comes the rejection and the way they treat me and everything like that. So it's hard for us here, but it becomes a little easier when you see we can take that attitude of going over to Guatemala and seeing that these people in Guatemala who we don't speak the same language are exactly the same as the people over here that do, and the fact that they both have souls and they're both either going to go to heaven or they're going to go to hell. And regardless of what happens to me, it's going to end one day, and we're all going to stand before God. And so if I get ridiculed for it, it's not going to be ridicule forever, because it's not going to last forever, because we're going to go to heaven. So that was one of the things that we talked about, was how can we take an attitude of just continuing that mission mindset, bringing it over here. So if you can't go on these trips, like, this isn't like a thing tonight of like, hey, look at what we did, feel guilty if you don't go on these things. Like, no, like, pray, ask God. If you feel like he wants you to go on these trips, go on these trips. It's awesome. I think it's a perfect first mission trip. Like, it's awesome to get involved. You see a lot of love. You see a lot of God working. A lot of our needs were met. But if you can't financially or just don't feel called to, just still have that attitude of, I'm still going to spread the gospel no matter where I am, because no matter where you are, we're on mission right now. And this was just a special mission that we all got to go on. So whether you're in Guatemala or here, just keep spreading it. Like, no, this, it's no different than Guatemala than here, that you still have the same mission. So that's what I had to say.
All right, so on Monday, I don't know if you guys remember the announcement, but we all went to House of Hope in the morning, and Georgiana's usually there, I think. Yeah, they're there like once a month. So basically, do you guys know what House of Hope is? Yeah, the food ministry over there. They bring through like a crazy amount of people each week. I don't know the numbers. It's like thousands of people get food for the week. People that can't afford it and stuff. So we went there Monday morning with a group from Georgiana as well. And basically what they do is, As the parents are going through the House of Hope, a lot of them will bring kids. So we hung out with the kids. There was a line for like giving them school supplies, and there was some people doing, I think there were some people doing Play-Doh or something with them and making like little crafts. And it was just cool to hang out with the kids and to be able to kind of be that I don't know, just love on them, because a lot of their home lives are really rough and they don't get a lot of love. And just for someone to play with Play-Doh with them or to make spin art with them is just huge for them. So that's what we did. And it was really awesome just to be able to get in their lives. And I think they probably all come back quite often. This was my first time doing the kids thing. I feel like it would be really big, a big opportunity if we can get a lot of you guys there to hang out each or once a month, however often they do it, and just love on the kids. That's so big, like building those relationships, because these kids need the gospel.
No, it was awesome. It was a perfect example of spreading the gospel here. Yeah, basically all I did all day was wheel stuff, people's food out to their car in a wheelbarrow. And I didn't even have that much conversation with them, because some of them wouldn't even talk to me and just be like, hey, just try to make conversation. They wouldn't. But still, just that same attitude of like, it's worth it. Like, it's worth standing out here in the blazing heat and feels hotter than Guatemala. And these people don't even feel like, they just want food. They don't even want to be here. And like, and I'm just, they're sometimes snickering at me, but sometimes they'll be like, hey man, what's up? So it was a weird day. Anyways, no, it was worth it. Simple ways, this is a perfect example for us to spread the gospel, is volunteer for things like this, of just getting your hands dirty, maybe doing things that doesn't seem like I'm spreading the gospel because I'm not telling him about Jesus. But you know what? A huge part of that is just your attitude in serving people. And when they see that, it's a huge way of, wow, like there's something different about these people. They actually want to come and give me food and wheel it out to my car. So yeah, I thought it was awesome. That's it.
I went on a trip, so I'm going to share one real quick. So I'm walking with my group through New Orleans, and we're like just chilling, and I'm like, well, I wish there were some Spanish people around, because they say there's lots of Spanish people here. And as we're walking through this like intersection, there's this like little Spanish-Mexican dude who's like running through the intersection, and a car almost nails him. And so, yeah, so he almost gets hit by this car, and he like falls off to the side of the road. And then so we run up, we're like, are you okay? And he's like, huh? I was like, can you speak Spanish? Yes! So then Ana Paula's not here tonight, but Ana Paula's with me, and we got to spend like, I don't even know how long. Who was in my group? Were you in my group, anybody? Raise your hand. Keenan, how long did we stay there, man? Like an hour? Like half an hour sitting there just talking to this dude, sharing the gospel. It was awesome. And then later, this is the cool part, later on, like we got to tell him where the church was and stuff. The church planner actually met that guy somewhere else in the city and like somehow made a connection, and he didn't speak Spanish, so I don't know how it happened. But he's like, he got to bring him back to the church and like show him the church. It was cool. So anyway, that was a God story. Okay, that's it. All right, so this is what we're going to do. I'm going to pray to close us, and then you guys can go chill outside and do what you want, or sit and share more stories and talk and pray, and it'd be cool. All right, so here we go. Father, we love you, and we thank you for tonight that we got to do something just totally different than we normally do, but something that we should do all the time. Just constantly walk around and just give you glory, because you're always doing awesome stuff. And I pray you give us eyes to see the awesome stuff you're doing. And we thank you. Lord, we lift these up in front of people, even when it's scary to talk in front of big groups, because you're worth it. You're doing great things, and we are so happy to be a part of what you're doing. Father, we love you, and we pray you give us boldness to keep sharing the gospel. As the school year is about to roll out, God, and we're about to go back to school, I just pray, Father, that you make bold witnesses out of this group to take your good news to the schools of Merritt Island. We love you, Father, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.